Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Praise God. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus, the 20th chapter. And, here God, he comes down on Mount Sinai to visit with the children of Israel. And Moses goes up and meets with God, and God manifests himself. He manifested himself as the great I am, the Almighty God, all-powerful. And I mean, he comes down on this mountain, and there's lightning, there's smoke, there's thunder. Exactly the same kind of things we see in Revelation chapter 4 around the throne of God. That's what we see coming down on Mount Sinai. God is manifesting in the earth. This is an awesome thing. And he's got something to say. God's got something he wants to say to his people. And he's doing something that, you know, we don't see him do very much. When was the last time you saw God come down in smoke and fire and in this amazing way? Huh? When was the last time you saw that? That's not a real common thing. So here God comes and manifests in this amazing, awesome, uncommon way to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. And he's got something to say. And how many people believe that if God's doing all this because he has something to say, that what he has to say is pretty important? Huh? Yeah, in fact, he's got 10 things he wants to say. 10 things. You know, these are like God's top 10 things to mankind. Top 10, the top 10. And I'm not going to go through them all. But I want you to know, all of them obviously are very, very important. Very important. Well, I want to talk about number 5. Number 5, Exodus chapter 20, and in verse 12, he says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Now, think about it. Here's God. God can say a lot. He knows a lot, right? But he just gives 10 things. God's top 10 hits, all right, for mankind. Here it is, number 5, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Friend, this is extremely important to our success in life. This is extremely important to us living a very good life. In fact, he says it right here. He says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. How many want to live long?
Yes.
You want to have a good life? You want things to go good for you and live long. Don't want the devil to be able to take you out prematurely. Huh? Well, here it is right here. Here's a huge thing that God, this is so important. God is manifesting in fire on top of a mountain. The whole place is shaking. That's how important this is. We got to get this. And it's honor. Honor. Honor your father and your mother. Now, I looked up this word honor right here in the Hebrew, the original language, and it means to be heavy. Heavy. Be heavier. To make weighty. Now, if you go back in time, there was a time where people would weigh their precious metals to determine its value. Determine how much it was worth. So, you know, you'd go to the grocery store, you'd go to the marketplace, you know, and you would take out some coins, you take out some precious metals, some gold, some silver, and then they would weigh it to be able to determine just exactly how much it is, how much it's worth. So weight determines worth. And here the word honor means to be heavy. And again, we're not just talking about metals now. We're talking about people. We're talking about you and I. It means to be heavy, heavier, to make weighty. Again, the more you walk in honor, the more weighty you become. Which means what? The more valuable you are. The more valuable you are. The more costly you are. It means also abounding with, numerous. It also means be rich. Well, that's what we just talked about, right? How weight and wealth go together. Well, here it means rich, to be rich, boast, glorify, make glorious, glory. How many want to experience, see more of the glory of God in your life, in this world? Yeah, well, what is the glory of God? It is the awesomeness. It's the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. That's what the glory of God is. It's the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. And man, that's what we're after. Galatians tells us Christ in you is your hope or confident expectation of glory. Christ is in you so that you can walk in and experience the glory of God in your life. The manifested awesomeness in your life. That's your purpose. You know, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to reconnect us to the glory of God. The Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God. So Jesus came, took away the sins for the purpose of reconnecting us back to God's manifested awesomeness. I believe this is what Adam and Eve were clothed with in the beginning before they sinned. I believe they were just wrapped up, clothed in the glory of God, His awesomeness. I mean, it was beautiful and brilliant, and light was just coming off of them. They were amazing. You were created to be amazing. Not in yourself, but wrapped in Him. Amen. We want this. This is what Jesus died to give us, the glory. But notice that glory and honor are connected. Glory and honor are connected. In fact, this word honor in the Hebrew can also mean glory. So in other words, if we want to see more glory, if we want God more in manifestation, if we want God's goodness, God's wisdom, God's greatness, God's power, God's strength, God's health and healing, God's prosperity, if we want God's character and nature and ability to be more in manifestation in our life, then we have to grow in honor. We have to grow in this subject of honor. So this is exciting. I believe this is why God has got us in this series right now. Because He's got some glory He's planning for us. I said He's planning glory for you. Hallelujah. Glorious things are ahead. Somebody say, glorious things.
Glorious things.
Glorious days.
Glorious days
are ahead for me. Hallelujah. Why? Because He's teaching us about honor. We're growing in the honor of God. And when you grow in honor, you grow in glory. Because honor and glory, they go together. So it means glorious, glory, very great. Very great. This word honor, very great. Promote to honor. Now, over here in Ephesians chapter 6, this same scripture we see in the Old Testament in Exodus is repeated to the church in Ephesians chapter 6. And let me read it to you in verse 1. Ephesians 6, verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So we're hearing it again now in the New Testament. All right? Someone says, well, the commandments went out with the Old Testament. Okay, well, no. We see it right here in the New Testament. This is being written to you and I. Commandments still here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. Now, that word honor now being spoken here in the original Greek language means this: to make weighty. To make weighty. To prize. Value. Fix a valuation upon. Costly. Valuable. Price. Money paid. Esteemed. Valuables. Esteem. Especially of the highest degree. So notice, to make weighty, again, Old Testament, New Testament, Hebrew, Greek, saying the same things. To weighty, valuable, costly, just like money paid. And that's why this series is entitled Honor, God's Value System. Because it is by honor that we determine the value of things. It's how we value things in life. So now here he's telling us, Old and New Testament, honor your father and your mother. And of course, today we're emphasizing fathers. And of course, the father in the family is in the highest position of authority. So therefore, a father should receive the highest honor, the greatest respect, just because of the position that he holds. Regardless of whether you think he's a good father or not, how he treated you, how he was involved in your life or absent from your life, that's irrelevant. He still is your father and is in the highest place of authority, was in the highest place of authority in your life growing up. So he should receive what? The highest regard. The highest honor. In other words, he should be extremely valuable to you. Very costly. He carries a lot of weight in your life. I believe that honoring fathers is key to your life going well and you living long on the earth. That goes for everybody. Honoring your father. You want to live long. You want to have a good life. You honor your father and mother. You know, that's what I love about God. There's no, like, exceptions. With God, you know, God, everything's so clear. Just so clear. There's no confusion. It's not difficult. You know, there's so many things in the world today. The wisdom of this world is so muddy. There's just so much, well, now, you know, in this event, or if now in this situation, then, you know, it's really, you really don't have to honor the person. You know, now, of course, if they don't treat you right, then nobody's expecting you to treat them right, you know. And so then it changes with everybody. But God doesn't leave it open for change, for reform. There's no reforming this. Honor your father and your mother. I believe you can have a very bad relationship with your father. He could even be an abusive father. Maybe you had an abusive father growing up, or a father, again, like I said, he was absent from the home growing up. But you still can obey God and still honor him. Honoring him doesn't necessarily mean you have this great buddy, pal relationship. You don't have to have a great buddy-buddy relationship with somebody to honor them, to esteem them, to value them, to treat them with the highest respect. And we see a great example of this with King David, who before he was king was just a shepherd's boy, and he was called on by the king to come and serve King Saul. And so David would play the harp and minister in different ways to King Saul. He even began to go out and fight many of the king's battles and gain great victories. And he was being mentored and growing up under the king. And of course, David was destined to become king. God had anointed him as king. And so Saul was being a father figure to David, kind of like a spiritual father to him. He was mentoring him, growing him up, you know, in kingly things. And suddenly one day came where Saul is listening to a wrong spirit, and he begins to get really jealous of David and gets to the point where he wants to kill David. So he begins to do all kinds of things to try to trap David and catch David and try to get David killed out on the battlefield or however he can get him killed, try to snare his life. But yet, because of David's close relationship with the Lord, David is escaping all of it and just keeps prospering. Things just keep going better and better for him. And now Saul's getting more and more desperate to just kill him, just wants to kill him. He feels threatened by David. And so, man, he's throwing spears at David. He's attacking him. I mean, we're talking about some serious abuse. Serious abuse. And David, finally, he has to save his life. He's got to flee. He's got to run. And so at various different times, Saul would go out with his armies and try to hunt David down. And even though David was away from him, trying to get away from him, Saul's still coming after him, trying to kill him, trying to take his life. I mean, the man is out of his mind. Saul, completely out of his mind, wants to kill David. David has done nothing but honor Saul. And so this day comes over here in 1 Samuel chapter 26, where Saul is hunting David's life out there in the wilderness, and Saul moves right into a place where David and his men are hiding, and Saul doesn't even know. He's like, right, he's right there. David could kill him. David could kill him. In fact, God set it up so that David was standing right over Saul and could have taken his life. No problem. I mean, here's Saul trying to kill David, determined to get him. No matter where David goes, Saul's hunting him down. And David, right now, he has an opportunity to do it. In fact, his men, time and time again, are encouraging him. Kill him, kill him. Come on, the Lord's delivered him into your hands. David wouldn't do it. He said he would never raise his hand against the Lord's anointed. Never would do that. And so he allows Saul to escape. David calls out to Saul, shows Saul, hey, I could have killed you. Shows him the evidence of how I had you. I was right next to you. You didn't see me. I could have killed you. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 17, it says, then Saul knew David's voice and said, is that your voice, my son, David? See, this is like a father and son relationship. And he said that more than one time. My son, David. They had that kind of close relationship. David said, it is my voice, my Lord, O King. Here's this madman. Saul has turned into an absolute madman. He's abusive. He's trying to kill David. And listen to how David respects him. My Lord, O King. Now, is he just saying that because, well, David is, he's trying to protect himself from the king killing him? No, he could have just killed the king if he wanted to. He's saying this. He's calling him my Lord, the King, because of his honor for the man. His great respect for this man who is as a father to him. Verse 21. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return my son, David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Notice that. I will harm you no more. He's harmed David. Verse 22. And David answered and said, here is the king's spear. Let one of your young men come over and get it. Verse 23. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you, king, into my hand today. But I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. And indeed, as your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued much in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, may you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Now, do you see the honor in these verses of Scripture right here? This is so powerful. Verse 21, notice that statement there, where he says, my life was precious in your eyes. This is Saul talking. He says, my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I played the fool and erred exceedingly. So Saul's recognized, I've been an absolute fool. I've mistreated you. I've been abusive to you. I've done wrong to you. But yet, what did David do to him? David called him a bum. I don't want anything to do with him. He tried to kill me. Now, did David do that? No, he didn't. What did David do? He obeyed the fifth commandment. He obeyed the fifth commandment. That's what he did. He obeyed God. He walked in the character of God himself. He walked in godly honor. And he saw past all these terrible things that Saul was doing as a personality in his life, in David's life. He saw past all that right to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is this, that God has honored this man and placed him in authority over my life and has honored him to be my Lord and King. Therefore, if God honored him that way, who am I to dishonor him? If God exalted him, who am I to cut him down? In my words or in my actions? If God has looked up to him to put him in this position, who am I to look down at him and despise him for what he did to me? See, honor isn't necessarily about how you're treated. We are to honor what God honors. We're to value what God values. And David valued King Saul. And another thing, too, to realize, before Saul lost his mind, before Saul started listening to devils and started attacking David, Saul was helping David. Saul had helped all of Israel to prosper. And I mean, really, it was through Saul that God put Israel on the map, because until Saul came on the scene, the Philistines, for the most part, the surrounding countries, were just oppressing the children of Israel, just dominating them. And so God did some awesome things through Saul in Israel's life, in David's life. And David, being the honorable man that he was, he never forgot the good things that Saul did for him when Saul started doing bad things to him. David still remembered the good times. David still remembered the good things that Saul did for him. He remembered those things. And he held on to those things in a time where Saul, now, it was hard to find anything really good coming from Saul's life. Saul's doing one bad thing after the other. But David's hanging on to the great things, the noble things, the just things, the lovely things, the precious things, the valuable things, the wonderful things that Saul had done in times past. That's what honor does. Honor clings to what's honorable. That's what its mind is on. It minds what is honorable. If you think dishonorable thoughts about people, it's going to be hard for you to honor those people. Which means it's going to be hard for you to pray for them. And how many people know we're supposed to be praying for people and not just people that are making it and doing good things in life? Huh? This is folks that are doing a lot of wrong things that need prayer. Huh? They need prayer. But how can we pray for them if we just despise them? We can't help them. Aren't you glad that even though while you are yet a sinner, treating God totally disrespectful and irreverent, being a blasphemer, aren't you glad that while you are yet a sinner, God honored you by pouring out his blood for you? But of course, that's you, and who wouldn't do that for you? I mean, you know, you really weren't that bad after all anyway. No. God honored us when we were very dishonorable towards him. God honored us while we were being very disrespectful towards him and very damaging to his kingdom, making it harder for people to even get into his kingdom. We were a part of a mess of turning everybody to their own way, just as we ourselves were going our own way. And yet God came and he didn't kill us for it. He should have killed us for it. He should have looked and said, "You're done. Get done. I give you this nice planet. I give you blue skies. I give you green grass. I do all these nice things for you. This is what you do. You're done. Take them to the fryer later." That's not what happened, right? Did that happen? Should have happened. Thank God God's an honorable God. I want to be like him, don't you? Why? Because he always triumphs. He always wins. He always comes out on top in every situation. He's God. And he always will be God. And ain't no Satan going to be able to overthrow him, not even come close to it. So, man, I want to follow a winner, don't you? I want to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to be like him. I want to do things his way. His way is the way of godly honor. Honor, honoring others. To do that, you're going to have to think honorable thoughts. You got to think honorable thoughts about people. You got to find the good. You're going to have to find the nice things. You got to find the precious things. And when it comes to a father, you got to understand that God honored your father by making him your father. Isn't that right? God honored him. It was through him that God brought you into the world. Wow. I mean, I don't know how you feel about yourself, but you should be like, wow. Right? Because you're pretty awesome. God died for you, right? He paid with his blood for you. Wow, you're awesome. And that's the man. That's the man that God used to bring me into the world. God honored that man by bringing me through him. How can I turn around and despise him? And in just case we didn't get that, you know, we just didn't naturally get that, he comes down in fire on Mount Sinai, lightning and thunder and all kinds of this the whole place shaking, great manifestation of God. And he says, hey, honor your father and your mother. Respect them, esteem them, value them. See them as costly, precious, valuable in your life because of who they are in your life, not necessarily of all that they've done in your life. Because there's some good dads, and they're just good, and then there's some dads that they need help. They needed a lot of help. And a lot of times those dads, their dads, needed a lot of help. They didn't know a whole lot. Led by the flesh more than the love of God and the Spirit of God. And, you know, I mean, there's folks that they get to a place where they're even without natural affection. You know, people get so just oppressed and full of demonic thoughts, troubling spirits, devils messing with them. They don't even think right. They can't even love correctly. They got problems. They got issues. Saul had major issues. But what did David do? Even though Saul even invited him, said, David, come on back. Come on back. I won't harm you anymore. David was like, hey, here's your spear. Here's the jug of water. Here, you can have your stuff back. But I'm not coming over today, Dad. Right? He didn't. David, come return to me. I won't harm you anymore. Hi. Thanks, Dad. But no, here's the spear. Here's your stuff back. I don't think I'm going to come over today. I think I've had enough spears thrown at me to know that your house is not the best place to hang out. David, just sleep over. No, thanks. But yet David still honored him. No longer a close relationship, right? Not a whole lot of fellowship, but still a whole lot of honor. See, to honor someone doesn't mean you have to sit there and be cozy-wozy with them. That isn't necessarily honoring them. It's esteeming. It's what? It's valuing their life. And that's exactly what Saul said, recognized. He said, my life was precious in your eyes this day. That word precious means it was valued. It was costly. And then verse 23, David says this statement, may the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. Notice that. The Lord repay. Pay. Remember, honor is like money. It's spiritual money. It's the currency of heaven. And we see that honor being displayed in acts of righteousness and in faithfulness. David is still being faithful to the king, not abusing him back, not speaking evil of the king, not becoming unrighteous himself because of Saul's unrighteousness. Too many people allow themselves to be defined by other people's behavior. Just because somebody else wants to treat you wrong, why would you let that cause you to become a wrong person? Just because somebody is acting unrighteously towards you, why should that turn you into an unrighteous person? David didn't become unrighteous because he was treated unrighteous. He continued to shine the honor that was in him, the righteousness, the faithfulness that was in him, just shined that much brighter when he was being treated so badly. What happens when you're treated badly? Do you become bad? You might as well, because after all, you have a right to be bad, because after all, you were treated so bad. How can anybody expect you to act good when you've been treated so bad? And that's how usually people are. they just conform to how they're treated. They conform to those around them. It's time to be so rooted and grounded, anchored in honor, that no matter how we're treated, we respond honorably. We respond respectfully, not stupidly. I think David would have been stupid if he went back home with Saul. Saul was unstable. He wasn't a good king anymore. But David still respected him. Needed to keep his distance, but he respected him. David didn't change. I believe if David became like Saul, which is how most people would become, to kill or be killed, right? You try to kill me, I'll kill you. You try to get me, I'll get you. I'll get you before you get me. See, people become like the people that are attacking them or being dishonorable towards them. They become like them. And if David had become like that, I don't believe David ever would have made it. Saul probably would have killed him. But because Saul couldn't get in his heart and change him, Saul couldn't put a spirit in his flesh. Saul couldn't put a sword in David because he couldn't get anything in his heart. Hallelujah. I love what Jesus said when the hour had come for him to be betrayed and so forth. He said, the ruler of this world is coming. Talking about Satan. Ruler of this world, the powers of darkness. They're coming. He's coming, but he has nothing in me. He's got nothing in me. So guess what? If he's got nothing in me, he can't get anything on me. He can't control my flesh. He can't control my body. He can't determine my death. Devil can't kill me. Why? He ain't got nothing in me. He ain't got nothing in me. Love of God's in me. Honor of God's in me. This is how we have to be. If the devil can't get anything in your heart, if he can't get to your heart, he can't have your body either. And we can stand up and resist him. We're not going to be conformed to this world. We're going to be transformed. What do you mean? We're going to be turned inside out. We're going to let Christ in us manifest and come forth in his glory, in his honor. We're going to have him come forth and manifest through our life. That's what we want. We're not going to fall prey to the dishonorable and become just as dishonorable as everybody around. We're living in an exceedingly dishonorable generation. People don't even know what honor is. They have no idea what it is. It's a kill or be killed mentality out there. You slap me, I'll punch you. You do me wrong, I'll do you wrong. That's the mentality, but not in you and I. Not in you and I. You and I are rising up and allowing the honor of God to shine forth. And what's that going to produce? Glory. Power. Oh, hallelujah. Victory. Woo, we're going to win. We're going to overcome. Ha ha! Because God's a winner. He's an overcomer. Jesus overcame the world. We're going to overcome the world. We're going to walk in the same honor that he walked in. Because that's what's on the inside of us now. Can you say amen? So notice again, verse 3 says, may the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. So you see again, righteousness, faithfulness, characteristics of honor is something that can be spent, paid, and repaid, reimbursed. See? You sow it, you're going to reap it. A lot of folks want to be honored, but they don't sow honor. Then verse 24, he says, and indeed, your life was valued much. David's saying this about Saul. Your life was valued much. Again, this is honor. Honor values, right? Your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued much in the eyes of the Lord. and let him deliver me out of all tribulation, which is what we were just saying. I valued you, even though you've been treating me wrong like this, I valued you because I understood that God has valued you by placing you in this position, this place of authority. God has anointed you. God has put you in this position of authority over my life. And because of my respect for God, I have honored you. I have valued your life. Now, what did David expect to reap? He expected to reap being valued by God and delivered out of all tribulation so that he'd live long on the earth and it would go well with him. Hallelujah. Friend, it's not do unto others as they do unto you. Huh? It's not do unto others as they would do unto you. We do unto others according to the righteousness of God, according to the honor of God. So you look at the people in your life and you recognize, hey, God has honored them. God has put them in my life. He's put them in a place of authority in my life. I'm going to value them. I'm going to esteem them. And we got to understand, you know, you go back to Malachi. Malachi chapter 4. Here's the last verse of the Old Testament. Last verse of the Old Testament right here. Last thing, okay? This is important. Last thing that's said is, you know, you need to get this. Verse 6, he says, and he, talking about Elijah the prophet, the spirit of Elijah, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Notice that. If the father and child relationship, father and son, father and daughter relationship is wrong, what does that open the door for? Curses. Curses. I don't want any doors open to any curses in my life. Huh? So our walking in honor towards our father is a big part of us being able to walk free of curses. Again, it goes back to what? Living that it might go well with you. That it might go well with you. That you might live long on the earth. That sounds like a curse-free life. See, because again, the father is the first authority figure in our life. And if we get that wrong, then that distorts everything about our life. It messes up our whole life and will affect us and destabilize all different areas of our life. So we've got to get that right, because if we don't have that right, if you don't have any honor, respect, reverence for your father, then that's going to affect you in all the other different relationships you're going to have in life. It's going to destabilize all the different areas of your life as you go on in life. Because it's kind of like the foundation to a building. If the foundation is messed up, the foundation is warped and cracked and all messed up, then what's going to happen to the building? The building's going to have issues. Right? Foundation shifts, the walls crack, got cracks in the ceiling, right? Foundation sinks. It affects that house. Leaks start happening, all kinds of things start happening. Why is the roof sealing? Well, it's really not about the roof, it's about the foundation. You got a problem with the roof because of the foundation. This is a foundational truth. Honor your father. It's a foundational thing. And it's a heart thing. I said it's a heart thing. Again, we're not talking about necessarily having a great relationship. You might not be able to have a great relationship with the person. You know, it takes two people to have a good relationship. But you can still honor them. You can still treasure them in your heart. You can still value them in your heart. you don't have to despise them. You don't have to hate them. You don't have to speak abusive things about them. This is a gentleman, I mean, you know, his father was rough on him when he was growing up. Just rough. And he grew up rough. And now here he is, I mean, he's in his 70s, you know. And he's still, you get around him, you just spend a little bit amount of time with him, he's going to say something about his father, who's already passed on, gone to heaven. He's going to say something about his dad and how his dad did him wrong when he was growing up. And you couldn't get this guy saved. I mean, you're trying to minister in the word to him, you're trying to help get him saved, and I mean, that just stayed his whole life. He just kept going back to what his dad did to him when he was a teenager. Kicked him out of the house, did this to him, he was cheap, wouldn't give me any money, wouldn't loan me any money. He just slander and slander and slander his dad. And even though he seemed to grow up and have success in life, in his field, he was miserable. It was not well with him. It was not well with him. And his health just completely deteriorated, and now he's gone. People hang on to these things in their heart. They're bitter, they're angry. We've got to make sure our hearts are clean. So what? Somebody did something wrong to you. Let's talk about you. What kind of person are you going to be? Especially the born-again ones that are in this room. Because when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you were born again. Born of your heavenly Father. Born of God. Given His Holy Spirit. Given hope. Given His plan for your life. Come on. We've got the heart of God on the inside of us. We can rise up and be an honorable, respectful, loving people. What kind of person are we going to be? Are we going to be what other people have been to us, or are we going to be what God has been to us? Let's be what God has been to us. Huh? Let's be honorable. Let's be loving. Let's be caring. Let's respond with respect towards people, especially those that God has honored to be in our life to do something. Have they done anything good in your life? Yes. Well, why don't you hang on to that? Why don't you think on that? Why don't every time you see them, just thank them for that? Thank them for that. Why do you want to keep whining and complaining about the negative thing or things that they've done in your life? Just go ahead and think on the honorable things, and then that'll help you to walk in honor. Thus, you can walk in victory and not become a victim or continue to be a victim in life. Let's go back. Let's make sure the foundation's good. Let's honor our fathers. Hallelujah. Let's honor our fathers, our natural fathers and our fathers in the faith. There's a lot more we can say about that, but we'll have to wait. Hopefully, we'll be able to get that out next time. But we need to walk in honor towards others. It's the key to being honored. It's the key to the glory of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah!
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.